Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey guys, do you like Galaxy 500 or Luna better?
Well, you know, I really don't think that's something you have to choose. I mean, can't you just like them both?
Yeah, that's like trying to decide between 7-Eleven and Stop and Shop. They're both great.
Oh, hey, Patrick. Remember, not too long ago, we were in your basement. Today we're in my basement, but we were in your basement recording with our friend Nick Scalera.
Yeah, that was so nice that he came over. We talked about the Ken Burns Country Music series that appeared on his network, PBS. He doesn't own it. He works there. And
Someday
he will. And he will be king of public media. And also, he talked about Galaxy 500, which was great.
He did. And today we're going to address some correspondence we got on Galaxy 500 from that show. He talked specifically about the album On Fire.
That's right.
Which was celebrating its 30th anniversary.
I think so, yeah. Their second album, I believe.
Yes. So this show is called Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us is...
Bud Verge.
Hey, Bud.
How are you?
We are doing great.
Great.
How are you?
Doing good. Here? Been sleeping on the floor all week long.
I know.
Nice and rested.
It's been excellent. Under the pool table.
Yep. Yep. Dog only licks me every hour on the hour.
He's intense, Shadow. There's no like halfway with Shadow. Oh. It's all Shadow.
It depends. I was telling Patrick earlier here's the thing though. I don't want to overuse this because he's gonna get wise to it after a little while. Mm-hmm. But sometimes in the evenings when the dog is really going nuts, and just driving us crazy, we'll say, okay, Shadow, it's bedtime now, time to go on upstairs. And then he immediately stops and sort of like lays down on the floor like, I'll be good.
I'm good.
I'll be good. No, that's fine. I can just stay right here. And I'll be like, okay, you know, that's fine. Yeah. And then that lasts for about 5 minutes. And he's up being crazy.
Ripping stuff apart. Yeah. He did, last time we were here, chew one of these foam microphone covers.
Yeah, the windscreen thing. Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. He'll chew just about anything.
Puppy energy.
That's what puppies do.
Great.
Back to Galaxy 500. Let's start here with a call we got that's related to this, all right? You may have heard this voice earlier this week.
Hi, fellas. This is Harris in South Carolina. Great episode today about Galaxy 500. The venerable Nick Scalera did a great job, as always. It was good to hear his thoughts as well as your thoughts on the great album. It inspired me to call in to give a concert report. I saw Luna, I guess it's been about 3 weeks ago in New York City. It was October 20th at the Bowery Ballroom. Great show. Not very close to South Carolina either. So that requires a little bit of background. Back on October 3rd, 2015, I saw Luna at Terminal West in Atlanta, and I met my friend Rachel there. It was the first time we'd ever met in public or in real life, I guess you say. We had been friends on Twitter for a while. We first were friends because of baseball, Braves baseball, and then discovered we had a ton in common, definitely on the music front. And it was cool hanging out with her, just friends. Got to see the show. I think that was the tour that Luna got back together and started touring again, and they've been doing it pretty much ever since, which was great. Great show, for sure. Well, less than a year later, on September 28th of the next year, Rachel and I got married. Pretty awesome stuff, and it all started with the Luna show. So next time they came through town in Atlanta, February 4th, 2016, we saw them, that wasn't, that show was 2017 in November. We saw them again at the Terminal West, another great show. And then they announced the shows this year. Well, the Atlanta shows, were on weeknights, and it's a pretty good drive for us, 2.5 hours from where we are in South Carolina. So we didn't really want to make that, but we said, hey, they're playing New York City, on the weekend. Why don't we just fly up there, which is what we decided to do. It was around my wife's birthday, so we decided to see them at the Bowery Ballroom, which is the part of New York City where they played a lot, near Chinatown. And they played the Penthouse album there. Great, great show. It was a little different than the two Atlanta shows. It just felt a little different. Not that they had a more energy, because it's Luna. They don't necessarily show a ton of energy, but the sound was just clearer. It just felt different for sure. You know, at one point, Dean said, hey, we recorded this album, Penthouse, just down the street. That was pretty cool. Also, Justin Harwood, the original bassist for Luna, was there. Of course, he was also in the Chills, flew in from New Zealand. So we got to see him there at the Bowery Ballroom. That was awesome. You know, they played the Penthouse album to start off the show. First song, Chinatown. We were right next to Chinatown. Pretty great. Justin Harwood was on bass for some of the songs, with Britta, of course, playing as well or singing backup. Amazing stuff. You know, first 11 songs were the Penthouse album. Then they played some covers, did a Roy Orbison cover, did a Monochrome Set cover, did Season of the Witch by Donovan, which was pretty amazing, and then played some other great Luna songs like Slide, Still at Home, Pup Tent, and closed the show with IHOP, which was pretty jamming. Amazing stuff. So, you know, Luna, definitely super important to me. I first started liking them back in the 90s. My friend Clark sent me the Luna Live CD way back when, and I'm like, wow, this is pretty great. So I got to know them more after that, and then I realized, hey, Dean was in this band called Galaxy 500. Got into them as well. So Luna is, you know, Nick talked about how he and his future wives used to listen to Galaxy 500. So Luna for me is definitely the band that led to me and my wife getting married 3 years ago. So very important to me. The show was great. Go see Luna if you can. I think they'll be touring again in 2020. I think they already have some California dates announced. All right, fellas, keep up the good work. And, one last point. Nick talked about Andy Aldridge, who runs the Head Full of Wishes website that is dedicated to Galaxy 500. Well, he posted a link a few days after the show by NYC Taper, and I was able to download MP3s of the whole show. Perfect soundboard quality, so now I have the show there at the Bowery Ballroom forever. Amazing stuff. All right, fellas, keep up the good work. Thanks. Bye.
In the tiny, tiny hours between the evening and the day, we have placed our final bets.
All right, thanks for the call.
So that's so cool, you know, to have that kind of connection with somebody that you end up marrying around a band. That's really neat. I love it.
It is great.
So. And it kind of parallels with Nick's story, too.
That's
which
right.
is really cool, yeah.
That's right. So, and of course, I think the listeners got this here, but the connection between Galaxy 500 and Luna is...
That Dean Wareham was right. definitely the, you know, kind of singer-songwriter, main driving engine of both those bands.
And I think Nick, after we recorded, went to see Luna as well.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he saw him recently. But I would love it out there if anybody, you know, has met someone because of your shared love of rock in the suburbs and you got married. That would be great. Just let us know about that story. I tried my hand at matchmaking once, so around this podcast. I'm not getting involved in that again, so.
Send all the wedding invites to the P.O. box.
That's right. Yeah. It'd be nice. Yeah.
They emptied at least once every 6 months.
That's right. And I'll look for my tie if I get invited to the wedding.
And perhaps as a wedding gift, you'll get a keychain.
Or beard butter.
Or bag balm.
There you go. All right. So speaking of Galaxy 500, we got a Facebook comment here from a guy named Bud Verge.
Yeah. Oh, and that's me.
We thought instead of read it, maybe you'd just talk a little bit about your connection with Galaxy 500.
I had the lucky fortune of going to a college in Western Massachusetts in the late 80s, from 84 through 89. And there was quite a Boston scene through there. There was a Northampton scene. Some guy named Jim Maskus and the Pixies came out of like the Amherst, Northampton area. Yeah. And while I was at UMass, one of the things that I was involved with, besides student government and beer and girls, probably somewhere in...
in that order?
Well, beer, girls, UPC Productions, which was our concert board, student government, then maybe class, then maybe... other things.
Yeah.
But we had the concert board at school. We did about 20 to 25 concerts per year.
Wow. That's a lot.
At our university, we had a pretty decent sized budget. And of course, we did a lot of small shows from, a small venue we called the Blue Wall that probably held about 200 people. We had the Student Union Ballroom, which held about 1,000. We had the Fine Arts Center that held 2,000. And then this is before they built the Mullins Arena, which is the big hockey arena that came after that I had left. Our big spring concert every year was out on the pond. And we would have, 10 to 15 to 20,000 people. But one of the shows that we promoted, and while I was listening to the Harris's call, I was like scratching my head trying to remember who was the opener and who was the closer, is we did Galaxy 500 in the Blue Wall the spring of 1989.
Wow.
And I believe they either opened for Hugo Largo or they closed and Hugo Largo opened.
Okay.
But it was just on that cusp of when the second album was coming out, and it was a nice package tour. We sold tickets for like $10. We got 200 kids out there.
Wow.
And it was a nice little show, especially when they broke into all the new songs that they were playing, and I think they closed with the Joy Division of the New Order ceremony.
Oh,
so
nice.
That was it was great. Wow. So for a couple of weeks, we were playing, Galaxy 500 all over the college radio stations, five colleges up there.
Right.
A bunch of college radio stations, and they were all just playing Galaxy 500 just to hype the show and sell our 200 tickets so we can make our $2,000 gross to pay everybody. I think they got maybe $300-$500, and I think Hugo Largo got like 1,000, but they didn't check didn't arrive in time, so they weren't going to play, but they were They were in Amherst anyways on like a Tuesday night, so they're going to play. So that was fun.
Right.
But that was a nice one of the many bands that we had that came through UMass was Galaxy 500. Great show.
Prime time to see him too, right around then for sure. I think Harris said it right. I don't think there's a ton of difference between at least, I don't know what you remember, but from Galaxy 500, but very similar to Luna. There wasn't a lot to like sort of look at on stage, but the way they made that one chord just sort of stretch out for a really long time and ring was really cool. Their sound was always real important, and they had the cool sort of Vox, vintage amps and all that stuff.
Put a lot of blue light on them.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. It was a great mood.
That's the way to do it. Yep.
All right. And then we got one Facebook comment here from Jay Ignacio.
Yeah.
And Jay says that On Fire was my introduction to Galaxy 500 and Rough Trade US, parenthetically includes Lucinda Williams and Miracle Legion.
Uh-huh.
And that. Okay. He says, I love Blue Thunder, but always thought it was referencing a helicopter or plane. Thanks, Roy Scheider, says. So that's a reference to, there was a movie called Blue Thunder with Roy Scheider. So, right. It involved a helicopter somehow.
I think so. Kojak is referenced in the lyrics to the album, too, and the song When Will You Come Home, I believe. So there's definitely some TV references if you dig a little deeper into Dean's lyrics on this album.
I think he also had a shout out to Route 128.
That's right.
Little Modern Lovers.
Yeah.
I was waiting for a Stop and Shop reference, but they only went to the convenience store.
That's right. Yeah. And go Stop and Shop.
Yeah. And then continuing on this Facebook thread, Vasant Ramamurthy said, the real question is, Blue Thunder, sax or no sax version?
Very interesting.
So, should we do a little compare and contrast
Let's do it. I know where I stand.
All right. So, here's the original version of Blue Thunder on the On Fire album.
Thank you.
Okay, now let's play a portion of the version with sax.
With sax. That is a saxophone played by Ralph Carney. Interestingly enough, he was in the band called Tin Huey. Do you remember them from the mid-70s, kind of a new wave band from Ohio?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Akron, I believe. And also played a lot with Tom Waits. And also played with Jonathan Richman, B-52s, Mark Ribot. So fits that they got a really cool saxophone player. I'll just say I don't like that at all. No. I think it kind of ruins the song, personally, but that squealing.
Well, that's the thing. It's not a sax part like a Clarence Clemens or like a quarter flash thing like that, you know? It's this weird sort of, I guess, you know, kind of deeper in the mix is weird kind of effect almost. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little squealy at times.
Yeah.
It's almost a little jarring if you're used to the original mix and all of a sudden you're like, hey, what's this?
Right. That's a great way to put it. It is kind of jarring after you've listened to it. And I think that's an important point, Bill, because this came out on a 12-inch originally in the UK after... On Fire had been out like a year later. This came out, and it also the original features, just like you said, cover of Ceremony, the Joy Division song.
Yep. So had this 12-inch.
Yep.
Yeah,
picked it up at For the Record in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Nice. You still have it?
No.
Oh,
but if you came to my house for a little late night one-on-one time, you might have heard some Galaxy 500 in the Nick Scalera fashion, right. I believe. There was a lot of Lou Reed, New York at that time as well.
Right.
And if it was a really, really late night, then you got some feelies. So.
Nice. Beautiful.
Very cool.
Yeah. So Galaxy 500 does, you know, mean people can fall in love.
Yeah. There you go, man.
One thing I want to say now, if you ever see photographs that Bud posts on the social medias, he's got a fantastic listening room these days.
Oh, he does. It's incredible, man. Yeah. It's really cool.
It's nothing like the basement.
Oh, but that's probably... better.
It's very cool. Very cool. How many records do you have about now?
Still putting them in Discogs, over 1,000.
Wow.
Plus the CDs, which you don't see, which I've gone from about 6,000 or 7,000 down to about 2,500.
Wow. So. Yeah. That's a lot. Yeah. Similar to Snyder. He's got a ton of CDs over at his place, but they're all behind cabinets and things like that. Yeah.
Like those big books.
Yeah. That's
those
right.
Big booklet things. Yeah. All right, cool. Thanks for the correspondence on Galaxy 500 and Luna.
Thanks, everybody.
We appreciate it.
Definitely touched a chord with folks.
It did.
Yeah.
And I kind of anticipated that.
Yeah.
They're one of those bands.
Yep.
All right. If anybody would like to correspond about anything regarding this show, specifically, if you want to tell us about your favorite song or album of 2019, you'll get a mixtape out of the deal.
We will
send you a mixtape. The way you can contact us for that special promotion, though, is you have to call and leave a message, 612-440-1984. Or send an audio recording of your voice via the email, rock@suburbspod.com. We need to hear your voice because we're going to use it on a show in January. Last year we did this. It was very successful. Actually, 2 years we've done this.
Yep.
And we're probably going to fill up the whole month of January with these recordings. So tell us not just the song or album that you like, but what? Why? That's really important.
Yeah, it is important.
You should have a passion for that selection.
And speaking of passion, as Bud mentioned earlier, I should mention this really quick as a postscript to what we just talked about. The Full of Wishes site, Head Full of Wishes, actually posted when Nick showed up on our show and posted his whole episode. That was really nice of those folks.
And I'm so stupid. Andy there, he's now a patron of our show.
Fantastic.
And when I announced that on some other episode, I can't remember where in the timeline here, I wasn't making the connection.
Oh, you know, now I remember.
That's who Andy is.
Great. Yes. I'm glad we talked about that.
Yes.
That's great. Thank you, Andy.
And he's working on a Galaxy 500 tribute album that's supposed to come out sometime, I think, in December.
That's right. And he's also got a book that came out that he put together on limited edition art book on fire. So that's really cool, too.
So what's the site again?
Fullofwishes.co.uk.
All right. Everyone should check that out.
Yeah, just Google Head Full of Wishes and it'll come right up there.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get out of here. Tomorrow, speaking of patrons, we're going to do a very special patron episode featuring a guy who's right here at the table. So we'll do that tomorrow. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Bud Verge.
He's the guy at the table.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye.
Butter, bag balm, and lung butter.